Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
7:12, that song means we've got Joe and Cindy Farini on the line. It's this very special moment because it's Hannah and Cindy.
Oh my goodness.
Together.
Two for one. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning.
Usually when I'm with Cindy, it's her sending me cute, encouraging text messages.
Aww.
You're just such an encourager, Cindy.
Well, hey, it sounds like you had a great conference.
We did have a good conference. Yeah, I just got back. I was in Colorado with Authentic Intimacy. We had a big conference there October 15th, and it was wonderful.
Great.
Beautiful.
Glad to hear it.
Well, and you guys kind of converge on a number of issues as you talk about marriage, because I'm certain that with Authentic Intimacy, they hear quite a bit about infidelity and lack of trust in marriage relationships. And that's been our topic last week, and we're coming back to this week. Can you remind folks about the question you received from a listener?
Sure. The question was, my husband has been unfaithful, and I am having a hard time trusting him again. We have had counseling and are doing well trying to pick up the pieces, but there are times I lack trust. Can you suggest some things I can do, and my husband too, to learn to trust again? And just, I just want to mention one thing that I said last week that I think was helpful, and that is that trust is gained by repeated actions of the party that made the offense. And so from that perspective, we have some thoughts for today.
Great. Let's start with Joe then. Joe, what about the rebuilding process? What does that look like? Do you have any pointers for us?
Absolutely. You know, one of the major building blocks towards rebuilding any type of relationship is to look back to determine what created the environment, what created the situation to predispose the spouse to even think about starting a promiscuous affair. Now, as a healthcare provider, and any healthcare provider knows that before they can properly treat a patient, it's essential to understand the origin or the cause of the problem, if possible. If you don't take care of that, if you don't treat that cause, you will most likely have to treat the same problem again someday. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, so what caused this spouse to be predisposed to have this affair in the first place? And so I'm going to speak in some general terms here first, and then I'll have Cindy talk about some real practical things about how this couple can begin to weave in a reconciliation plan to bring their marriage together. First, let me just keep in mind that an affair is always the result of an intimacy deficiency, not just physically, but intimacy deficiency in this marriage. And that is really the cause of the affair. It really boils down to a loss of intimacy before this affair even occurred. So the first part of this recovery process is to identify what was missing in the marriage that led up to the affair, and then repair the loss brought on by the affair, which Cindy will address later. So the first step is to review the contributing factors that created the environment that led to the affair. And one of the first questions I will always ask the couple engaged in this rebuilding process is, do affairs tend to run in your family? Now, I've learned from experience that you need to go back to your parents and your grandparents to find out your history. Now, clearly, let me say this. This historical research that I'm talking about doing here doesn't excuse you or your spouse's behavior. It just helps you begin to understand the setting in which the affair occurred. Knowing your family, your heritage can help you really change it in this generation so that you do not pass this on to your children. So the best way really to reverse this generational sin, or some people would call it a generational curse, is to pray that this stronghold is torn down in your marriage. And secondly, if you are parents, the children need to see their parents grieve and move forward in their marriage. And I think these two steps will really help them and the children not repeat the cycle when they get married in the future.
Cindy, do you have anything to add to that?
Oh, I do. One thing Joe and I talked about a little bit yesterday, too, was the comment he just made about, you know, allowing for your children to see you grieve through the process as you rebuild is important. When your children are really little, probably that's not going to be maybe the best thing to do when they're, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. So be letting them in on a lot of what's happening. But we know so many people who go through these problems of infidelity and sometimes divorce when the children are older. And I think it's important for them to see, especially when things are resolved, really to see how their parents worked through it. But that could be a story for another day. But I do have a couple of points. You know, rebuilding takes time. I think most people, you know, we live in a fast food society, so everybody wants everything fast. Everybody wants to be, you know, you don't want to be sick. You want to be healed fast, and we don't want our marriage to be a problem. We want it to be healed fast, but it's going to take time. And a couple of the thoughts that I'm sharing with you come from, in part, from a book called Torn Asunder. Joe, do you have the author's names?
I do. Yeah, it's called Torn Asunder, subtitled Recovering from Extramarital Affairs. And the authors are David Carter, and the last name of the other guy is Janaki. And it's a Moody Publishing book, so it's available on our website.
Yeah, good. Very good. And so, you know, some of these thoughts are sharing from that book that we thought was very helpful. So the first thing is just to review what brought you together in the first place. What things did you really love about your spouse? And then to be able together to share your own personal story of just life and kind of re-talk about it. You know, when someone is interested in another person and an affair begins to start, you know, you're sharing your story, you're talking about things that are of interest to you about yourself, and you're curious about that other person and what they are like. And so you need to reestablish that in your marriage, and so you need to go back and review it. And some things that might be helpful are, you know, going back in your picture album and talking about, you know, how you met, how you dated, raising a family, all those kinds of things. And then not just talk about it, but either revisit those places or revisit those times, dating again, you know, sort of like you did when you were newly dating. And then the second thing would be to rebuild and make new memories, start dating again. The old habits have to be broken. You know, if you're a person who's real quiet and you never talk about anything, well, maybe that has to start changing so that there's some interest in the marriage and good communication, which would be the third step. You know, not just talking together. You had a great segment from International Friends about, you mentioned how that the people of America can be rather shallow. And, you know, we need to not be shallow in our marriage relationships. We have to go deep in those relationships and not just have intimacy in the regards to sexuality, but intimacy in regards to conversation and our communication. So what we want to see people do is, you know, talk about yourself with your spouse, ask questions to your spouse, and get to know each other all over again, and just become intimate in this area of conversation and communication. And one of the things I like to do on my Facebook page is I like to do these conversation starters. And they're not, you know, they're not in-depth questions, but they're questions that are just giving you something to talk about. And maybe I'll give a couple of them on Marriage Matters in the next day or so, just so people can have an opportunity to say across the table from each other, or as they're, you know, working in the kitchen together, to say, hey, would you rather watch the Indians on TV, or would you rather go see the game in person if we could afford a ticket? Mm-hmm. You know, those are silly questions, but they're questions that get you talking to each other about something rather than just how was work, fine. So those are a couple of thoughts.
We have about a minute left, but I want to be sure we point out something I noticed in what you were saying, and it's that many would presume that if he's unfaithful, it's his job to fix it. But it sounds to me like it really is a two-way partnership to bring back trust in this relationship. That's hard, though, isn't it?
Well, definitely. I mean, the success potential for a complete reconciliation is going to be equal to a one-winged airplane trying to fly. I mean, unless they're both really engaged in this process, it's going to fail. So they both need to be fully engaged in this process of reconciliation.
Hmm. Yeah, and I agree. You know, we never recommend divorce, but there are times where reconciliation is going to be very difficult for various reasons, which would not be for me or for Joe to say what those would be specifically, because every situation is different. But we would just urge couples, and you know, your marriage may not even be in this place, but it might be heading in this direction. So get back on track, you know, get back on track, start livening up that marriage. You know, do something in your marriage that is is fun for you. We just had dinner with some old neighbors of ours, which are, we moved and we're right around the corner, but we went with our former next door neighbors, and we're just so impressed with how they work on their marriage. They have date nights. They go out with other people on another night. They just keep that marriage alive. And I think it's really, really important that we work at that. You know, they're not having any issues. They're just having fun. And that's what we have to have in our marriage.
Good point.
Preventative maintenance.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's 7:22 on Brian and Kathleen Mornings. And if you want more information about Joe or Cindy Farini, go to joeferini.com or cindyfarini.com. Or you can look for My Marriage Matters on Facebook. And if all else fails, just come to us, brianandkathleen.org. We'd be glad to connect you. Thanks, you two. Appreciate your wisdom on this issue.
Thank you. Have a good day.
See you later.
Bye-bye.